So the last time we gathered for the Lord's Supper, we began a new series on the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked about the idea of walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is this idea that we are to live lifestyles that are driven by the Holy Spirit and driven by the work of the Spirit in our lives. And today, instead of going from that overview that says to walk in the Spirit and then going directly into the first fruit of the Spirit, which is love, I want to step back and look at the whole forest of trees that the apostle puts before us. There's great value in looking at each one of these nine pieces of the fruit of the Spirit individually and inspecting them closely, and that's the intention here. But before we do that, I want to step back and have this look at the forest from high above. And when we do that, when we back off, you know, we could look at love and inspect that, and joy and inspect that. But before we do that, as we back off and we look at this whole forest of trees, so to speak, the Apostle Paul puts before us two sets of lists, doesn't he? He gives us a list that says, here are the things that come from the flesh. Here are the things that manifest themselves from a life in the flesh. And then here are the things that the Spirit of God produces in you. And we're going to focus on today on that contrast. As we're up here and we're hovering above the forest, we're going to look at both the harvests that come from these two different types of fruit, as well as the harvesters, those that are harvesting the fruit, whether it be the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. So as we come to this section, we're going to make those contrasts, and hopefully that will help prepare our hearts as we come to the Lord's Supper this afternoon. We're looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. So Galatians 5, 19 through 23. And we're going to begin this morning with looking at the harvest of the flesh. The harvest of the flesh. Verses 19 through 21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So Paul says, for this harvest of the flesh, he says, let's look at the flesh. Let's begin, as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, with looking at the flesh. And we hear that word flesh, and you know, we automatically think of the skin on our bones or the skin on our muscles. But in the New Testament, this phrase flesh is something that's much bigger. It's much bigger than just, you know, our bodies that we carry with us. It's often used for the person that is unregenerate, the person that's not yet a Christian or that is not yet a believer. That's someone who's in the flesh. But it's also used as a contrast for that part of the believer that is still not yet conformed to the image of Christ. So you can think about how as a believer, there are certain areas of your life that are sanctified, that are conformed to what the Scriptures call you to do and how the Scriptures call you to think and to act. And then there are those other areas where you say, you know, I'm still struggling here. I'm still wrestling through this area. The Apostle Paul would say, that's your flesh. That's your flesh versus your spirit. So there's that contrast that is made. And from that flesh, that place of man under the power of sin and darkness, the Apostle Paul tells us what that harvest of the flesh is. That which proceeds from the flesh, or Paul would other places say the old man, that which comes from the old man, from that place of nature outside of redemption by Jesus Christ. Paul says when we look at that, when we look at the flesh, when we look at those who are unregenerate or those that are not yet Christians, or when we look at the part of your life that is not yet sanctified, or the who you were versus who you are, he says these things of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. And then he tells us what that harvest of the flesh is, that which proceeds from the flesh. He says they're evident. That word evident in the Greek means that it's open, or it's outward, or it's appearing. You know, if something's evident, it's just super obvious. You know, you look at that, you say, oh, it's evident that this is the way this is. And that's what Paul says. You can look at the life of even a Christian, or you can look at the life of unbelievers, and you can see that harvest that comes from either the life of the unbeliever, or that harvest that comes from that part of your nature that is not yet conformed to Jesus. And Paul says, this is evident. This is something that's able to be seen. It's outward. It's there for all to see. This harvest of the flesh is that which we see around us for all of those that are not in Christ. And now the first grouping of words that the apostle gives are words that are related to sexual sin. He says sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Living impure lives from fornication or ungodly behavior in that way. That word sensuality that we see in our translation is debauchery. It's a lack of control in this area, or a lack of restraint, or a lack of decency in this area. So he begins with this outward sins that were common in the ancient world, and then he goes to idolatry and sorcery. You know, you might not make that connection right away. Like if I said, you know, why don't you list the common sins that you see in your neighborhood? Sorcery may not be among the list. Witchcraft might, the same word, may not be among the list. But what we see is that these are sins against the first table of the law. The way that we love God according to Scripture. And idolatry is that outward expression of worshiping a false god. And that word witchcraft or sorcery, the root of that is a word that shows us about drug-induced experience. Now, maybe that hits closer to home than witchcraft, this idea that people are trying to numb away the pain, or they're trying to find meaning in drugs or in drunkenness. These are sins that are violations of how we love God. And then Paul goes on to talk about sins against our neighbor: hatred, quarrels, temper tantrums, discord, jealousy, anger, outburst, selfish ambition, backbiting, bad-mouthing, faction, schism, envying, drunkenness, murder, fighting. All of these things as a harvest of the flesh, ways that we do not love our neighbor, ways that our lives are not yet conformed to that which Christ would call us to do. And notice what Paul says. He says that these all proceed from the flesh. These are all vices and sins that are inherent to humanity outside of Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. These are things that are natural to humanity. And even for the Christian, these are things that when, you know, when we sin in this way, if it's, you know, envy or if it's backbiting or if it's anger outbursts, those are things that Paul would say that belongs to the old nature. That belongs to the flesh. That does not belong to who you are as a Christian. And then he says that those who practice such will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a heavy statement, isn't it? It's a heavy statement. But what Paul is telling us is he's not saying if, you know, say you're a Christian and you accidentally get drunk, or even if you purposefully got drunk once, that doesn't mean that you cease to be a Christian and you will not go to heaven. Paul's saying that when we look at this list and we talk about the character of the flesh that proceeds from people, if these are the things that are central to who you are, that you're not in Christ. It's something that you must consider. It's not just that if somebody gets angry or if they're ungodly in a certain manner that they're not believers. We know we are not justified by the works of the law. That's what the scriptures say. And if we look at this list and we say, as long as we avoid these, and as long as we can do the fruit of the Spirit list, then we're Christians. That is not right thinking. That is unbiblical thinking. The list is given so that we would examine ourselves and to say, what are those areas where we are in need of conformity to the scripture? And if a lifestyle is reflected totally in this list of the flesh, then one should ask him or herself if they are in Christ. If they are a believer, the harvest of the Christian life is a harvest not of the flesh, but a harvest of fruit. You see, we're not to be harvesting that which comes from the flesh. And by nature, that's what we do. We just harvest and harvest and harvest from these works of the flesh. But notice what the Apostle Paul does is he tells us that there are these works of the flesh, but there is also a harvest from the Spirit. And what I want you to notice in the second point this morning is the harvester of the fruit. The harvester of the fruit. Now notice the beginning of verse 22. The apostle says, but the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that we discuss and the fruit that we will discuss in this series is fruit that comes to us by the Spirit. Now you might hear that and you say, well, you know, Pastor Nathan, that seems really obvious, the fruit of the Spirit that's going to come from the Spirit. But what I want you to understand is that this is actually something that is quite profound. And it's profound because when we look at this list that Paul has just given us and talk to us about the flesh, these fleshly virtues, so to speak, where do those come from? Those fleshly works come from within. They're natural. It's natural for humans to do those things. You look at your unbelieving neighbors and you see things in that list and you say, well, it's natural. That's who we are outside of Jesus. Those things come from the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit that we've mentioned and that we've read this morning, these are things that come from outside of self. These are things that do not proceed from within. Now, why is that profound? Why is that important? It's important because Paul is not telling you what your personality should be like. You know, we all know people that are nicer than other people, kinder, gentler people. Paul's not saying that, you know, that these things over here are bad. And if your personality is kind and gentle and loving and sweet, then that's good. He's not talking about personality. He's talking about a spiritual work within you. And that is important. It is profound. Because often what we do when we look at these fruit of the Spirit and we talk about this as a harvest, we look at ourselves and we say, you know, I'm just not that type of person. Of course you're not that type of person. The point is that you are not that type of person. The point is that the harvester, the one that is going to do this work within you, this work where you've rested in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're a believer, you've confessed your sin, you're clinging to Jesus, and now that work that we call sanctification or becoming holy, that work begins. And it's not just cleaning up a personality. It is a work of God's Spirit within you. That is profound. The fruit of the Spirit proceeds from a renewed nature. These things, love, joy, peace, etc., they are only able to be present within you because the Spirit of God impresses them upon you and allows them to develop, allows that harvest to come. Friends, if you are in Christ, then you have been renewed in your nature. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that you are a new creation. You are a new creation. So what that means is when you come to me and you say, well, Pastor Nathan, my personality just doesn't fit this list, or it's just outside of my nature to act this way or to desire to be this way or to be conformed to this, I'm going to say, you're right. And that's okay, because it is a work of God's Spirit within you. What that means for us is that you do not need to conjure up within yourself these fruits or this fruit. The Spirit of God is the one who will do this work within you. Again, this is not how you are saved. This is something that happens because you are saved. This is because the Lord has begun a good work within you, and He will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, the harvester of the fruits is the Spirit. He is the one that develops and raises up and grows within you. So as you come this morning to receive of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, you can ask yourself questions like, do I need to see grace grow in my life? Do I need to see certain aspects of this fruit develop within me? Does my Christian life need greater faithfulness or greater commitment and greater growth as a Christian? And I hope that all of you say yes. I hope that there's none of you that come to the table this morning and say, you know what, Pastor Nathan, I think I've arrived. I think I deserve this. I've earned this. See, that's totally antithetical to the Christian faith. We haven't arrived. We don't deserve. It's all of grace. It's the Spirit's work within your life. And if there's anything within your life that is reflective of this list that we read this morning, this love, joy, peace, etc., if there's anything in your life that is reflective of that, you're to give God the glory. You are to bring that before Him and to acknowledge that it is the Spirit that works within you. It is his work. He is the harvester. So we've seen the harvest of the flesh, and we've looked at these vices and sins, and we've said that the harvest that God wants to bring forth in your life is a harvest that comes from the Spirit. But what is this harvest? What is it that the Spirit of God wants to grow within you and to bring forth? And we see that, thirdly, this morning as the harvest of the Spirit. The harvest of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that is being developed within you as a Christian is singular. Just grammatically note that. It is singular. Now, what that means is that we should see growth in all of these areas. You know, you can't just say, well, you know, I'm the joyful Christian. I'm not working on these other things. I'm just working on joy. That's not how it works. There's a singular fruit that is characterized by these nine aspects, and we're growing in these areas. We're not all going to grow at the same speed. We're not all going to grow, somebody may excel in certain areas and still struggle in other areas. And that's fine. That's part of the Christian life. That's part of the diversity of the church and the way that God works within us individually. But I want you to note that it is singular that we should be growing in all of these areas. At least some growth seen and some growth sought. But I also want you to notice that the apostle begins with what I call the overarching fruit. He begins with fruit that is applicable for both our love for God as well as our love for neighbor. Remember, the law of God is divided that way. The first four tables, or the first four laws, how we love our God. And the second table, the law, 5 through 10, how we love our neighbor. And here the Apostle Paul begins with fruit that is applicable both in the way that we love our God and the way that we love our neighbor. He tells us that the fruit that the Spirit develops in your life as a believer begins with love. That charity, that biblical love that is directed towards God first and foremost, and then directed towards neighbor. We should assume that he would start here, because it is the summary of all that God requires of us in our behavior. Are you growing in love for God? Are you growing in love for neighbor? And again, I've said this to you before, but it's worth repeating. In order for you to rightly see if you've grown in your love for God and in your love for neighbor, it's better to look at long patterns of life rather than short patterns. Don't just flip back in your calendar and say, well, at the end of December, I was struggling with the same things I'm struggling with today. Well, of course you were. And you may go back 6 months and you say, you know, I really don't see a whole lot of growth here in 6 months. And that's true of many of us. But go back a year, go back 2 years, go back 5 years, those that have been in the faith longer, go back a decade, go back 20 years and say, have I seen growth in my love for God and growth in my love for neighbor? And love, as central flowing from that, is joy and peace. We're told in the New Testament that the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Is that joy being developed within you? That gladness in the things of God, and that peace that rests in the finished work of Christ, and that shalom that results in a reflection of the things of God in your life, and that of shalom in the scriptures is reflected in our homes and in our souls and in our businesses and in our neighborhoods. That peace of God which passes all understanding. Paul then turns our attention towards the fruit that is towards our neighbor. He talks about patience and kindness and goodness. These are things that you and I should be developing more and more, that we should pray and ask that the Spirit of God would increase our patience and increase our kindness and increase our goodness to those around us. Patience is long-suffering. We are to be patient with one another in Christ. Kindness is to not have a sharpness to us, or to not have bitterness in tongue, but a courteousness. And goodness is tenderness and mercy towards others. You see, in Christ, we should be growing in these things. We should have this overview of the work of the Spirit in our lives, and we should be able to look into our lives and look at our souls and say, you know, there is fruit that's growing. There is development that is occurring as we conformed to the image of Christ and the Spirit of God working in us. And that work of the Spirit, that harvest that He is working in us, is something that affects us as well. Remember, He begins with these overarching ones, love, joy, and peace. And then He talks about fruit of the Spirit that affects the relationships around us. But He also talks about fruit of the Spirit that affects who we are at our core as well. He talks about faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Things within us that we are to be developing in and growing in as well. Those, the faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control were called the premier ancient virtues. Things that even the Greeks and the Romans understood as good things that ought to be developing in your life. Faithfulness, you know, we might call it stick-to-itiveness. Gentleness, that way that Jesus Himself describes Himself. And self-control, that which aids in your ability to put off the old man and put on the new man, renewed in the Spirit. And maybe as we come to this table today, and as you hear of this need to grow, and you see the works of the flesh in contrast with the fruit of the Spirit, and you hear the words that it's the Spirit's work, maybe you're still discouraged. Maybe you still say, well, Pastor Nathan, I'm just not seeing the fruit grow. I'm not seeing it develop. And again, I would encourage you to look at the big picture, to look at the long Paul, and ask the Spirit to grow those things within you. You know, not one of us would be able to go to an apple orchard and to just stare at a tree and watch the fruit grow. It would be too slow of a process. And often in the Christian life, the growth is slow, and that's okay. It's okay as long as we are resting in Christ and His finished work, and as long as we are acknowledging that this is the Spirit's work and the Spirit's desire within your life, that you would develop fruit. Well, congregation, I would encourage you to pray for that fruit to be developed. Pray for an increase in these virtues and graces that are here given, and watch the Lord even ever so slowly conform your life to that image of Jesus Christ by His Spirit. Amen.